program you are about to hear, Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenus, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
The program you are about to listen to is a true story. It contains some of the most terrifying material I've ever encountered. So often in a case like this, it's hard to pin down the details. In the autumn of 1989, a company called Hazelton Research Products was using a one-story building in the business park as a monkey house. Hazelton Research Products is a division of Corning Incorporated, the company that makes Pyrex glass cookware. Corning's Hazelton unit is involved with the importation and sale of laboratory animals. Each year, about 16,000 wild monkeys are imported into the United States from the tropical regions of the Earth, including humans.
Hello. Welcome, gentle Sir Knight. Welcome to the Castle Amtrak.
The Castle Amtrak?
Yes. It's not a very good name, is it?
You hear about some monkeys. Monkeys. Yes. 12 of them.
He planned that he'd come from the future. That he was looking for a pure germ that would ultimately wipe mankind off the face of the earth starting the year 1996.
Yeah, him!
Yeah. Mad all my
himself. And I see you got the mad scientist.
Mahmoud, you are acquainted with the role that Valide was to have played in the second phase of our operation. I am, sir.
We should be in Oklahoma City tomorrow if the car holds out. If the two attack, come right on top of each other. The TV will go nuts. And the letters are ready. We had to set a tone. We had to make it a war. We can't just have a couple of assassinations. We have to make the media think war. It has to be big if we want to get the great Satan. Sam snorted. It'll be for nothing if we can't get him out here.
Just want to remind you, boys and girls, this is the gun for me, the Space Patrol Cosmic Smoke Gun, the gun that saved my life not so long ago, remember? Yes, sir, I like a modern super weapon that shoots like this. Now, I know you'd like to have a gun just like mine, so I've asked Jack Norris to tell you once again how to get one. Here's all you do to get a Cosmic Smoke Gun and a bag of reloading powder.
In the world I see, you're stalking out through the damn canyon forest around the ruins of Rockefeller Center.
Oh, you keep your head round and round, round, round. Oh, you got the treasure I found. You ain't no better before. I sent a letter before.
Yeah, yeah.
I sent a dream to you last night. From the end of the world.
Just like my dream.
Oh, that was terrible. I'll just sprinkle you all with some amnesia dust.
A microbreak of a rainforest virus with unknown potential to start an explosive chain of lethal transmission in the human race. Emerges in a cold geometry of clinical fact, mixed with flashes of horror so brilliant and disturbing that we draw back and blink as if we are staring into a discolored alien sun.
Oh, who left the freaking blinds open? Ow, my eyes. Oh, my throat. Oh, my chest. I mean, besides the obvious, I don't think I'm doing too good. Right, what have I started?
Bring the mind game now at my feet. Come on out. Join in the fight between Robert and Richard. Who's an engine that goes, they just started beating up Finny. Cause Finny hit Billy, we punched out Steve. When Steve hit Laura, after Jack and Johnny hit Tommy and Richard hit Emily, who accidentally pushed Debbie when Susie sneezed. It sounded pretty strange what he wanted me to do, cause I didn't even know Richard or Sue. I said, that's crazy, that's nuts. the maids and mines, yeah, these things, they have happened before, except when grown-ups do it, they call it war. Well, he started talking about tanks and guns and how I should go out and join in the fun. I said, just go and beat up Jim. Besides, Jim hit me after I hit him. When Timmy hit Billy, we punched out Steve. When Steve hit Nora, after Jack and Johnny hit Tommy and Richard hit Emily, who accidentally pushed Debbie and Susie's knee. So I said, I wish you all would stop your groaning, stop cussing and cranking and shucking and moaning. I wonder what would happen if you tell Jimmy you're sorry you hit him and if he hit Timmy. Maybe Timmy would go and take Billy's hand and hopefully someday they'll understand. Cause what's gonna happen if you don't do that will be Johnny and Frank are gonna wanna get your back. And you and Timmy will go beat up Bill, who'll turn around tomorrow and wanna kill you and him and Steven and Johnny and Jack. And one day one of you will try and get him back because Timmy hit Billy, who punched out when Steve hit Laura, after Jack and Johnny hit Tommy and Richard hit Emily, who accidentally pushed Debbie with Susie's knee. But it fought that over for a moment or two, and then it said, I bet I can beat up you. Said, no, you can't, cause I won't fight. And I turned around and smiled and said, good night. Well, I heard that he left and punched Paul in the mouth. He turned right around and knocked him down. So when he got up, he started fighting with Susie. Now I'm the only one left to sing this song to you.
So how do you feel? Not too bad, as long as I don't laugh or sneeze.
I don't feel so good.
Memorial Day, a day when our war heroes are honored by even the most liberal of media.
Not anymore.
Naturally, we'll have more on this story as soon as it develops. We now return you to the president's address, already in progress.
Flash, ladies and gentlemen. President threw up this afternoon on the steps of the Kremlin just prior to peace talks. He was heard to mumble something about Borscht and was suddenly on his knees. Before his bodyguards could assist him, five or six peasants of undetermined origin stuck several small protest signs on the president with scotch tape.
A douche.
A douche.
It's my sound effect. A douche.
Okay.
Mr. President!
He leans over, head on his knee, and brings up an incredible quantity of blood from his stomach and spills it onto the floor with a gasping groan. He loses consciousness and pitches forward onto the floor. Then comes a sound like a bedsheet being torn in half, which is the sound of his bowels opening at the sphincter and venting blood. The blood is mixed with intestinal lining. He has flushed his gut. The linings of his intestines have come off and are being expelled along with huge amounts of blood. Brain damage. Nobody home.
Now you don't see that every day.
FBI, counterterrorism task force.
My God, there's been an exposure. The next day, a few bits of frozen meat from Monkey 053 arrived at the Institute, brought by courier.
And I did open that letter in my backyard with rubber gloves.
Don't want to get any of that on your hand.
All right.
Monkey poop.
Don't burn your hand.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
What annoyed him was the fact that the bits of meat were wrapped in aluminum foil, like pieces of leftover hot dog, like the kind of mystery meat you get in a school lunchroom.
That's nice. I'm making my lunch.
Now, I don't have to tell you all that the dangers of science are a time-worn threat. From Prometheus stealing fire from the gods, Cold War era of the Dr. Strangelove terror. But never before.
We're going to whip it out, lube it up, and wank it.
People who knew him recalled that he was affectionate with wild monkeys, that he had a special way with them.
You know me?
And about your work.
My work? Firework, pathology, parameters in urban and semi-urban environment. Journal of Military Medicine, June 1974. Incremental effects, countermeasures to toxic agents and liquid systems delivery. Microbiological letters, January 1975, remember?
The doctors remember the clinical signs, because no one who has seen the effects of a biosafety level 4 hot agent on a human being can ever forget them.
Whoa, ho, ho! I think the survivors would envy the dead.
I was a very peculiar doctor in those days.
trying to find treatments for diseases that hadn't existed. Tell all the doctors invented them. Now I'm the only game in town.
I was an extra senior when they scratched the world. As a matter of fact, I was going to apply to Biowar Labs for my postdoc, but the next turn never came.
No, the big dude threw up because he got so agitated. And if he'd known about our masturbation...
He got so worked up, he had to puke.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
In the ashtray.
I don't think...
In the ashtray. A big ashtray that people had to empty.
The worst of them was Ebola Zaire. The kill rate in humans infected with Ebola Zaire is 9 out of 10. Ebola Zaire is a slate wiper in humans.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Ebola Zaire is the most feared agent at the Institute. Those people who work with Ebola are crazy. To mess around with Ebola was an easy way to die. Better to work with something safer, such as anthrax. Ebola was unpredictable. A virus is a small capsule made of membranes and proteins. The capsule contains one or more strands of DNA or RNA, which are long molecules that contain the software program for making a copy of the virus. A virus is a parasite. It can't live on its own. It uses the energy and material in the cell to survive.
By attaching to the cell membrane, causing cell surface alteration.
It makes copies of itself inside a cell, until eventually the cell gets pigged with virus and pops, and the viruses spill out of the broken cell.
They replicate in large numbers, mature, and release their massive battalions by blowing up cells.
Oh my God!
That was when I knew that Ebola can travel through the air. It probably traveled through the air in aerosolized secretions, like drips coming out of a faucet. Drip, drip, drip. Copy, copy.
Oh, Jesus.
The faucet runs and runs until the cell is exhausted, consumed, and destroyed.
The viruses scatter, besieging more cells, and the infection spreads as the viruses increase in strength and number at a staggering rate.
Ebola virus destroyed an animal's internal organs, and the carcass deteriorated abruptly after death. It softened, and the tissues turned to jelly, even if you put it in a refrigerator to keep it cold. You wanted to dissect the animals quickly, before the spontaneous liquefaction began, because you can't dissect gumbo.
Is that anything
about nothing we should mention?
No.
No, that's the dissolution of...
Monkeys spit and throw stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I can make toxins from both of these.
An airborne strain of Ebola could emerge and circle the world in about 6 weeks, like the flu, killing large numbers of people. Or it might forever remain a secret feeder at the margins, taking down humans a few at a time. But unlike HIV, the attack by Ebola is swift and explosive. Ebola does in 10 days what it takes AIDS 10 years to accomplish.
Christ.
It's great. Just great.
Complicated, Doc.
He had slumped to his knees, almost paralyzed, clasping the stricken elbow with his other hand. Everything had exploded into yellow light. Inconceivable, inconceivable that one blow could cause such pain. The light cleared, and he could see the other two looking down at him. The guard was laughing at his contortions. He was lying on something that felt like a camp bed, except that it was higher off the ground and that he was fixed down in some way so that he could not move. Light that seemed stronger than usual was falling on his face. O'Brien was standing at his side, looking down at him intently. At the other side of him stood a man in a white coat, holding a hypodermic syringe. Even after his eyes were open, he took in his surroundings only gradually. He had the impression of swimming up into this room from some quite different world, a sort of underwater world far beneath it.
I looked at these doctors, I said, Bob, what in the world is all that?
I need a man who has dealt with the Americans and their van.
Over to his left, Winston saw the man in the white coat break an ampule and draw back the plunger of a syringe. He raised a finger to the man in the white coat. 3,000, he said, speaking over Winston's head to the man in the white coat. Two soft pads, which felt slightly moist, clamped themselves against Winston's temples. He quailed. There was a pain coming, a new kind of pain. O'Brien laid a hand reassuringly, almost kindly, on his. "This time it will not hurt," he said. "Keep your eyes fixed on mine." At this moment, there was a devastating explosion.
That was what it sounded like.
There was undoubtedly a blinding flash of light. Winston was not hurt, only prostrated. Although he had already been lying on his back when the thing happened, he had a curious feeling that he had been knocked into that position. A terrific, painless blow had flattened him out. Also, something had happened inside his head.
Like a monkey ready to be shot into space. Space monkey. Ready to sacrifice himself for the greater good.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. No one else wanted to do it.
Doc pulled on a pair of tight-fitting rubber surgical gloves. Then, carefully, he used a sterile insulin syringe he'd bought, removed a quarter of a cubic centimeter of cabin, and injected into a soft gelatin cap.
Look at him jiggle.
Kind of quivers, yeah, awesome.
Then he enclosed a gel cap inside a two-part, coated, non-soluble plastic capsule that I could carry in my mouth. My mouth? Absolutely, tadpole. When you search, people may be perfectly willing to stick their fingers up your ass, but they seldom want to run them inside your mouth. Mouth, yuck.
Don't worry, you won't feel a thing. Till I jam this down your throat.
You got it, Pop. Just let me run a few pints through it first.
I tried everything in the shelves on him.
Join me.
Sweet. Pleasing taste. Some monsterism.
A needle jerked into Winston's arm. But somewhere or other, there was a large patch of emptiness, as though a piece had been taken out of his brain.
And utterly weak, and his spine goes limp and nerveless. He is going into shock. He is crashing. He can't stop. Viruses are molecular sharks, a motive without a mind. They had been injected with the hottest type of Ebola known to the world.
You did what?
It was the Mayinga strain of Ebola Zaire.
Oh.
This strain had come from a young nurse named Mayinga N, who died of the virus on October 19, 1976. Some of her blood had ended up in the United States, kept in super freezers at the Institute at the temperature of liquid nitrogen.
Man, woman, child, all is up against the wall of science.
We have got to get it together now.
Meanwhile, far below the Earth's surface...
If only I had a little pink button to push that could wipe out this town. Is it possible to get me a hydrogen bomb?
I doubt it, Your Majesty.
How about germ warfare? Do you know anything about that?
You mean poisoning the population?
Yes, that sounds like a fun project. How about rabies? Could we spread that disease inexpensively?
I think so, Your Majesty. All we need is some rabid bat pus to make a serum.
Fine, let's try it. rabbit bat card, and let's put in a little rat piss for good luck.
You're a genius, Your Majesty.
I know. I know.
In one big, beautiful pink package. And if you could put a stamp on it and mail it to Washington to your favorite senator, you might get in a few good licks for the human race.
What did he mean by that?
I don't know.
Except perhaps you'll have a little peace and quiet for a while. Oh. Yes?
I don't bring you peace and love. I bring you fear, famine, pestilence.
Dad, you got a letter from the city of New York.
Throw it away. Nothing good has ever come out of New York City.
And thank you again for playing postman.
Approximately 11:40 this morning, we got a call from the staff of Senator Tom Daschle that they'd received a suspicious letter inside the suite in the Capitol building in room S-220. U.S. Capitol police officers responded to the scene. We secured the area and didn't allow anybody in, didn't allow anybody out, while our hazardous devices unit responded. They suited up and went in. When they conducted an analysis of the substance, they found a letter that had a threatening note inside and a powdery substance inside of the letter.
Stupid mailman squirrel on me.
They conducted an analysis of the substance with bio tickets. Both of those tickets came back negative.
Now, who's being naive?
And the shepherd's boy cried, "Wolf!" His neighbors, supposing him to be playing his old game, paid no attention to his cries, while the wolf killed and devoured as many sheep as he wanted. Thus the shepherd's boy learned that liars are not believed even when they tell the truth.
And then, all of us understand that we will develop the truth over time because there's not a desire to hide it.
Yeah, right. Me too.
Ooh, that was terrible. I'll just sprinkle you all with some amnesia dust.
I said live it or live with it.
We're not that far gone, but we're on the road.
The yellow brick road. We're off to see the wizard.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
This interview is over.
Wash, wash, wash.
Wash your hands before doing anything that has to do with food.
Secretary, what about the rumors that a biological weapon has been stolen and smuggled out of the country during this conference?
This press conference is over.
Secretary. Wash, wash, wash.
Be a germ fighter with me.
Wash, wash, wash. Wash, wash, wash. Wash, wash, wash.
You can better communicate. As a result of hardening the homeland against a virus attack with first-time responders, our neighborhoods will be ultimately safer for crime.
It's funny because it's true.
Our response has been to weave a web of terrorism prevention and is the linchpin of all of our efforts to protect terrorism.
Well observed.
Homeland Security will make America not only stronger, but in many ways better. Knowledge gained from bioterrorism research will improve public health. We will develop vaccines to fight anthrax and other deadly diseases.
Naturally, we'll have more on this story as soon as it develops.
Don't know exactly what the substance is. What we do know is, according to our protocols, we've notified the FBI. The FBI is on scene now. This is now going to be a matter of a criminal investigation conducted by the FBI in conjunction with the United States Capitol Police.
FBI. Yes, good morning, sir.
FBI, counterterrorism task force.
I know who did this. It was those bullies at Dominic Martin High School. That's who.
Whoa! There are now approximately 150 guerrilla groups planning a revolution. The Church of Jesus Crisis.
It'll never happen in my lifetime. Nothing over which to get concerned.
Who are they? First, we have the whites. A 18 active type Ku Klux Klan groups. B, the National States Rights Party. C, the National Socialist White People's Party. American Nazi Party. D, the Minutemen. E, the Christian Nationalist Crusade. Anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish. F, the White Panthers, headquarters in Ann Arbor, and you'll hear much about them in a minute. Secondly, you have the Blacks. Over 100 different groups. A, Black Panthers. B, Islam, the fruit of Islam. C, the Republic of New Africa.
Hey, what's she talking about?
You know that hassle last summer between the bikers and the Indian people out in the Black Hills? There was a bunch of cops and a bunch of bikers and the Indian medicine people.
It's not bad. I fear for what we did to that boy. It wasn't quite right, you know. I think we made a crazy man.
You call me crazy, but I got a bad feeling about this guy.
All right, then. Let's do it.
Okay.
DJ, run it back. Grace, don't move.
Drop that axe. I got to put the axe down.
This man,
the FBI believes, was involved in nefarious activity. What was the evidence? Well, the man was seen walking into his home one day with a large pot. And he was later seen dumping some liquid out his back door.
Oh, man. That's ugly.
Well, it turns out that the large pot that he was carrying into his house was for his wife's favorite chicken and rice dish. And it just turns out that the liquid that he was dumping out his back door was soap water that had come from a backed-up dishwasher.
Yeah, right. Me too.
It's hard for me to clean this giant pot when you keep spilling meat tenderizer all over me. Oh, great. Now I gotta work in the dark.
Anthrax thought the FBI? Who knows what? Well, before he knows what's happening, in broad daylight, with TV cameras rolling, neighbors gawking, the FBI breaks down this man's door, holds him at gunpoint, with his wife and himself sitting on a couch, holding him at gunpoint, and interrogates them for hours before they're finally convinced that these people are involved in cooking a chicken and rice dish. Now, what's particularly sad and troubling about this incident is not even those blatantly unconstitutional measures that the FBI took, although they're disturbing. What is particularly sad about this incident is that when later asked about his reaction, this man said, "The FBI can come into my home whenever they want. I'm not complaining."
It's not particularly easy scientifically to figure out that this particular strain of anthrax came from this particular place or person. It's pretty hard to figure out. I think the FBI is doing its best and the Center for Disease Control is doing its best to try to get to the bottom of who caused the anthrax attack.
Not me. I'm more of a mail tamperer.
Yes?
Boss, we've got a problem.
International health authorities were urgently concerned to find the exact source of the infected monkey.
Well, you know, $29.95, I mean, it's not that big a deal.
What? You doubled the price on me.
That's a friend rate. $29.95 is a friend rate. Trust me. You go out on the internet. Well, we don't have time for all this capitalist wrangling.
Money, when it was needed. When the scandal hit the FBI, kickbacks in an insider trading investigation, the administration knew where to go. The boy from Phoenix had a reputation. He'd cleaned up the Phoenix Force, and he'd clean up the FBI. But he wouldn't try too hard. Not many people remember his early days in Phoenix, the nights spent hunting drunk Indian chicks.
And I'm sorry that these discoveries have been made.
With that in mind, do you have any concern about the FBI investigation?
I say to myself, not bad.
And pull out your booze-soaked, sniveling rum pot.
That's all I'm taking from you. Get back here, you jerk! Let him finish.
We've changed the attitude of the FBI. I mean, we're interested in spies. We're on the hunt.
Major cities in all parts of the country, New York, Los Angeles, report plague victims falling dead in the streets, in their homes, at their work. The first symptom appears to be severe choking, followed by immediate unconsciousness. Death occurs within minutes. Our fellow countrymen are dying. The very foundations of civilization are beginning to crumble under the dread assault of that horror long feared, germ warfare.
Hit the older people either died outright or went to the third stage pretty fast. Well, you know, blindness and light, albinism, psychotic illusions, occasional stages of torture, like the things out there.
I've eaten everything from the roach baits to cereal cakes, and I still feel like crap.
It's me. Turn on the TV.
Already, hospital facilities have begun to crack under the strain, and civil defense authorities state the situation is much the same across the entire country. Martial law is now nationwide.
We have in this country a tradition of invoking martial law only when the most dire of circumstances require it. But at what cost? All eyes now turn to New York City to see if martial law will bring the terror to an end.
Good morning. Today, with the invocation of the War Powers Act by the President, I am declaring a state of martial law in this city. To the best of our knowledge, we are opposed by no more than 20 of the enemy. He's hiding among a population of roughly 2 million. Intelligence tells us that he is most likely Arab-speaking, between the age of 14 and 30, narrowing the target to 15,000 suspects. We can further reduce that number down to those that have been in this country less than 6 months. Now you have 20 hiding among 2,000. You are one of these 20 young men. You can hide among a population of similar ethnic backgrounds. Unfortunately for you, you can only hide there. And that population in a classic immigration pattern is concentrated. Right here, in Brooklyn. We intend to seal off this borough. Then we intend to squeeze it. This is a land of opportunity, gentlemen. The opportunity to turn yourselves in. After sundown tonight, any young man fitting the profile I described who has not cooperated will be arrested and detained. There's historically nothing more corrosive to the morale of a population than policing its own citizens. But the enemy would be sadly mistaken if they were to doubt our resolve. They are now face to face with the most fearsome military machine in the history of man. And I intend to use it and be back on base in time for the playoffs. Thank you for your time.
Boring.
They will have more on this story as soon as it develops.
You better see a doctor.
A tiny corps of doggy doctors. They take care of the Army's guard dogs, as well as Army horses, Army cows, Army sheep, Army pigs, Army mules, Army rabbits, Army mice, and Army monkeys.
Plus, there's 12 of them.
No, I don't want the monkey army, this doctor. No,
nothing whatsoever. Nothing you should mention.
Hello? This is so my pleasure.
Wow! It's been a long time since you deigned to consult me.
Still a lousy. I'll make it worth your while to make me feel better. What you say, huh?
What's your question again? I wasn't listening.
Let me just show up, okay? Oh, man.
At the Institute.
Welcome to the Council Entrance.
The seats are narrow and jammed together, and you notice everything that is happening inside the cabin. You would not have been able to ignore the man who was getting sick. He is holding an air sickness bag over his mouth. He coughs a deep cough and regurgitates something into the bag. He opens his mouth and gasps into the bag. The vomiting goes on endlessly. The air sickness bag fills up to the brim with a substance known as the vomito negro, or the black vomit, a stew of tarry granules mixed with fresh red arterial blood. It is hemorrhage, and it smells like a slaughterhouse. The black vomit is loaded with virus. It is highly infective, lethally hot. A liquid that would scare the daylights out of a military biohazard specialist.
Son, I think I can safely say...
The bag is bulging and softening, threatening to leak. And he hands it to a flight attendant.
Wise guy. You better see a doctor.
Our medical logic seems to be shooting out of his ears.
His ears are for luck.
When a hot virus multiplies in a host, it can saturate the body with virus particles, from the brain to the skin. The military experts say, then, that the virus has undergone extreme amplification. During this process, the body is partly transformed into virus particles. The end result is a great deal of liquefying flesh mixed with virus. His personality is being wiped away by brain damage. Tiny spots in his brain are liquefying. The higher functions of consciousness are winking out. The human virus bomb explodes.
He's rupturing, Captain. Brace yourself. Readings, Mr. Sperm. He blew a left testicle.
Military biohazard specialists have ways of describing this occurrence. They say that the victim crashed and bled out. Or more politely, They say that the victim went down.
Oh. Is anyone here not a downer?
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the men suffered from blown up, semi-rotten testicles.
Sure. Who hasn't?
More testicles mean more iron.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
All of us want to know, just as much as I want to know, who's responsible?
All I beg for you two. And 10 minutes later, every cop in the state will be after us. Plus the FBI.
Must prevent the terrorists and regimes who seek chemical, biological, or nuclear weapons from threatening the United States and the world. The Iraqi regime has plotted to develop anthrax and nerve gas and nuclear weapons for over a decade. This is a regime that has already used poison gas to murder thousands of its own citizens.
Fools of old poison gas! And obsolete germ bombs!
Just as a freak tornado cruised through, sucking up two-thirds of it! Suck, suck, suck! For untimely dispersal over vast stretches of... What?
A wasteland. I wonder if it comforts him.
I wonder if I'll ever see a stream full of fish again.
Where'd you ever see a stream full of fish in Harlem?
Oh, you crazy bitch!
At the movie.
As a result of hardening the homeland against a bias attack with first-time responders.
What?
To detect biological and chemical weapons and agents. We're going to have an even swifter response to food contamination.
That's my boy.
It was O'Brien who was directing everything. It was he who set the guards onto Winston and who prevented them from killing him. It was he who decided when Winston should scream with pain, when he should have a respite, when he should be fed, when he should sleep, when the drug should be pumped into his arm. It was he who asked the questions and suggested the answers. He was the tormentor, he was the protector, he was the inquisitor, he was the friend.
I guess what I want you to know as a father is...
You're no son of mine, you don't...
He paused and signed to the man in the white coat.
Good news, boys! I found a pharmacy that carries leeches! Well, it wasn't exactly a pharmacy, more of a bait shop!
Well, I'm fine, I really don't need any more home remedies.
Oral thermometer, my eye! Think warm touch, boy! Because this is mighty cold.
Gotta pay the town.
This infectious diarrhea always precedes lunchtime. Can I have the first slide, please?
I think I'm gonna be sick.
The etiologic agent that causes infectious diarrhea usually can be divided into three large groups: bacterial, viral, and parasitic.
And eliminate the terrorist parasites.
Actually, it doesn't necessarily cause diarrhea per se. It penetrates through the intestinal mucosa to the mesenteric lymph node and then to the bloodstream and causes enteric fever.
Oh.
And the most frequent major symptoms here, nausea, vomiting, abdominal cramps, infectious diarrhea.
Yes!
Space monkey. Ready to sacrifice himself for the greater good.
Sacrifice? Nonsense.
Doctor, what can I do? The cough racks his body day and night.
Let them take this man of yours up into the hills, where his cough-torn lungs can breathe clean, fresh air.
But he perishes because the gods are angry.
He perishes because we live in a world full of superstitious fools. It isn't the gods that make a man sick or well.
The gods could strike you dead for saying that.
Perhaps they will. But I'm sure they won't strike me with a bellyache.
That's heresy.
Nature follows certain definite laws, which can be observed. And the course of a disease may be more or less predicted.
And don't forget, in any population, there's always the so-called background diarrhea level of 2 to 5%. So if you develop diarrhea, it may not be due to the foreign country, it may be due to yourself, okay? Because there is such a thing as a background diarrhea rate.
He looks pretty sick to me. Hey, I think he's coming around.
He's coming around, folks.
he's gonna be okay and ready to play Symptom 6 of Beat the Reaper.
Last week, our patient successfully survived the common cold, measles, pneumonia, dengue fever, and the yawns.
And now, the big question. Are you ready to go up?
Where?
He's ready!
Now, our topless nurse, Judy, is wheeling our patient into the isolation ward.
Well, let's try the test vaccine, 93B71.
Can you hear me in there?
How the hell do I know?
Okay, let's shoot him up. Now, patient, you have 10 seconds to tell us what you've got and beat the Reaper. Now you've reached the final threshold. Here's the question. Are you ready for symptom number 7, longer than any patient has ever survived before?
I want to go home.
Only one way to do that. Doctor, bring in the super shot.
Now, for the first time on Beat the Reaper, we're going for the big disease. The icebox is being unlocked by the president of the Armenian Medical Association, under whose strict supervision these toxins are being administered.
This is it. Doctor, give him that really big disease. Now, patient, can you hear me? You've got 10 seconds to tell us what you've got. And for the last time, beat the Reaper! Terribly sorry, that's not correct. You didn't beat the Reaper.
According to my careful prosthesis, this man has the plague.
Thank you, Doctor.
You're welcome.
You've got the plague. Well, isn't he a good sport, folks? We'll be back in just a moment with our next patient, but first...
Pulling off the towel, he revealed an unmarked cardboard box wound heavily with tape, put it in the trunk of his car, and drove to the Institute.
And the jars of urine?
Oh, we'll hang on to those.
These Laramie cigarettes give me the steady nerves I need to combat evil.
Oh, this radioactive man.
Massive traffic tie-up as the death rate continues to soar. And now, let's go to the river's edge and Charles B. Smith.
Torches blazing and the long line of shrouded funeral wraps drift lazily into view. Great black candles flickering at helm and stern. The excitement is contagious, and so are the Black Cross volunteers as they pass from family to family, pausing now and again to touch a child's head. I wish I could, but I can't.
And I know they're going to do everything they can to safeguard the labs and other federal facilities from being infected by these spores and this material.
Swimmers here! Get your germ lab out of here!
At the Institute, he saw that they were bursting and dying. They were infected with something, and it killed them fast. It killed them like flies. It could multiply in many different kinds of meat. It did not know boundaries. It was an invasive life form, devastating and promiscuous. It showed the kind of obscenity you see only in nature. An obscenity so extreme that it dissolves imperceptibly into beauty.
Ordinarily, I take advantage of an introduction like that. I'm so damn sick. I'm Evil Susie. I had an appointment. and just for your own information, I'm much more tractable if you get as many pills down me as you can in the first few minutes of the consultation, okay?
Aspirin. Are you 46?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Help!
It's strong antitoxin. Stops bacteria and viral growth for 24 hours.
I guess it'll help. So damn sick.
Walking discharge.
I'm really lucky to be ambulatory.
A gallbladder attack or a liver abscess could cause fever and jaundice and abdominal pain. The red eyes, she could not explain.
Oh, yeah, those, nice decor, though. What is this, a big cage?
This was a room known as the staging area.
Oh, that's the
She found a box of latex rubber surgical gloves.
Everybody's feeling gay. Hey! Who the hell are you?
We're the Lymph Node Institute. I'm Dr. Bug Bladder.
I'm Doc Ellis.
I'm Dr. T9.
Hey, whatever works for you. I'm Evil Susie.
This is a soap.
Do you know Susan?
Like I know Susan.
Do you not? Do you not
I don't.
Susan?
I don't know her in the biblical church way.
Oh yeah.
Boy, what that is. An
egg on our face.
Doctor's egg.
She leaned forward and vomited copiously on the floor.
Yeah, that was what it sounded like.
That's better, she said, leaning back with closed eyes. Never keep it down, that's what I say. Get it up while it's fresh on your stomach, like. She revived, turned to have another look at Winston, and seemed immediately to take a fancy to him. She put a vast arm round his shoulder and drew him toward her, breathing beer and vomit into his face.
So, you're cute.
Yeah.
You come here often. One, two.
Oh, Grandpa. I want you to tune on.
You guys are fun.
She was eager to prove herself, especially since some people around me were skeptical of her ability to work in a spacesuit in level 4.
Hey, look, guys, I wear pantyhose. You can't get much safer than that.
Uh-huh. Quivers, yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
They put on white coats and surgical masks, and the two men walked down a large, cinder block corridor, lined on both sides with steel doors leading into monkey rooms. Through windows in the doors, they could see hundreds of monkey eyes looking at them as they passed.
So then I zip back up and ask for my $10 back.
He got it, too.
It gets me hot. So that's how we met, Susie.
Yeah.
And then we... I remember that.
Me too.
That night.
Mm-hmm.
This was long before anthrax, any of that. They were around. They rocked.
Remember that time we partied with anthrax?
Yeah, we were cool.
Oh, it's on. It's on. Red light. Red light.
At the Institute, there is a level 4 containment hospital called the Slammer, where a patient can be treated by doctors and nurses wearing spacesuits. If you are exposed to a hot agent, and you go into the Slammer and fail to come out alive, then your body is taken to a nearby level 4 containment morgue, known as the Submarine.
What's up with that?
There's nothing we should mention.
If enough cells are destroyed, the host dies. A virus does not want to kill its host. That is not in the best interest of the virus. Because then the virus may also die. Unless it can jump fast enough out of the dying host into a new host. They did not care to do research on Ebola. Because they did not want Ebola to do research on them.
No one else wanted to do it?
Wanted to do what?
Okay.
Hell, I don't blame him. Slap my pancreas on the floor.
That was what it sounded like.
I'm surprised I got any jibbles left. I lost a bunch of them out front waiting for someone to come to the door. So I just scooped them up and put them in that big decorative, you know, immovable trough thing that you got.
That's wrong. In the ashtray.
I don't think...
In
I
the ashtray.
Think,
a big ashtray that people had to empty. I mean...
Well, it wasn't like I was the first.
There was a big guy.
Hey, he didn't just throw up.
The Level 4 airlock is a gray area, a place where two worlds meet, where the hot zone touches the normal world. A great deal of blood waited on the other side. She would be handling the blood, getting it all over herself, and the blood was saturated with Ebola virus. The blood was radiantly hot.
Is it just me, or is it getting deadlier in here?
Yes, but the show is engorged with blood now. Like,
good point.
He handed her a pack of dissection tools, and they turned and faced the stainless steel door together. The door led into an airlock and level 4. The door was plastered with a biohazard symbol and warning.
You know, I still call it idiot friends. Hey, where are you guys going? I thought you were gonna go with me.
I'm making my lunch.
You lousy bastard. I know how high-tech nerds like you operate. I know you got a view scope around here. Yeah, enjoy your lunch after you see this.
Oh my God, there's been an exposure.
Yeah, I can't entertain myself running to this hospital. Hey, I wonder what this little pink button's for.
Firings. Interception will fragment the Psylli carrying missile. Repeat. Abort firing.
To send it to abort Jesus, here in the Pentagon.
A warned judgment. Well, there it is. Here. Now. In the form of billions of microscopic bacilli. This is the end.
20, 30, 40%. Among the 18 to 55-year-old segments of their populations, and yes, these numbers are accurate.
No way!
It is not difficult to imagine the substantial depopulation of large areas.
Are you out of your mind? Come on!
I wish it were possible to do everything at once.
And you better believe it.
Give it to me straight.
And not hang around anybody that doesn't believe it.
I can take it.
Because you'll get their plague.
Oh. Man.
Some of you already have been bit by it.
Oh, he bit me with my own teeth!
Your risk of getting these diseases begins to decrease.
Well, I'm quitting for my health, too.
Psychosomatic.
Does that mean you're crazy?
No, that means he was faking it.
No, actually, it was a little of both. Sometimes when a disease is in all the magazines and on all the news shows, it's only natural that you think you have it.
It was brought home to me how Americans are already answering that call.
Hello?
Oh, nuts.
When I spoke to a friend of mine who's the head of a postal union, shortly after we learned of the anthrax threat, I asked him how he was doing. Not well, he said. We've lost two workers and some are sick. He said, I went to New Jersey where they had some of the biggest problems. Because of anthrax, all the workers were working in a tent, exposed to the cold, hand sorting the mail. He said, I thought I was going to get an earful, but when I asked for questions, a man stood up and said, I've been a postal worker for 30 years. We're here.
We're clear.
Punishment which you and those like you brought upon us.
You taught them how to make bombs. That's why you were looking for the wiring signatures on that blue bus. Now they're here doing what you taught them how to do.
There's no probe here. Find one.
Yes, sir.
This place is dirty, Doctor.
These animals are dirty. They stink. They carry communicable diseases. Why aren't they cleaned up before they're brought here?
You don't sound happy in your work.
A little more than a vet in this laboratory.
I'm just passing through.
She unplugged her air hose and unlatched the steel door and entered an airlock. The airlock was made entirely of stainless steel, and it was lined with nozzles for spraying water and chemicals. This was the decon shower, the decontamination shower. The door closed behind them, and they crossed over to the hot side.
One side keeps the other side going.
I hear about some monkeys.
Hey, who is it? You gotta get in line behind this ailing bimbo, though.
They unplugged their air hoses and proceeded down the hallway and entered the monkey room. The healthy monkeys went nuts. Humans in spaces make monkeys nervous. All the monkeys in those cases were infected with Ebola virus. Their immune systems had failed or gone haywire. They sat almost motionless in their cages, watching the two officers with expressionless faces. They had been injected with the hottest type of Ebola known to the world. It was the Miami strain of Ebola Zaire.
We're all sad and foamy. I don't want to cheer you little guys up. Come on, let's take a walk. Come on, come on, come on.
Covered. Take from flies when you eat outside. Remember, flies carry dangerous germs on their feet.
Enough already with the germs!
Despite the sweltering heat, don't unroll your windows, because those monkeys seem confused and irritable.
The Army is reporting the ape's position. General Sutton clearly favors a capture and not a kill. Units under Colonel Nevin have left their headquarters to block the male gorilla and divert him to where he can be apprehended.
Oh no! My dad's gonna kill me!
The virus absolutely nuked the monkeys. It was a complete slate wiper.
Is there anything you can do, Doctor? I mean, seeing how you've lost over 200 million patients.
You seem like a nice lady.
Well, that nice lady set the cause of biological warfare back 30 years.
We're only now finally caught up.
Hey, you know, I'm starting to feel a lot better. Maybe there's something to this medical science racket.
Sister, you're healed. You can get out of that bed.
I don't know about that.
Then he gets the house, it's the whole bunch of them in there going crazy. Oh, woo, 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 woo. It's so bad. I think it was Jesus, you should have been here quicker. If Jesus doesn't come quick enough, do you give up?
You've got Gronemson's disease. I can see 10 clear symptoms on your flesh. You're going to be dead in 2 weeks. And I became convinced I had the disease. The symptoms were so evident and said, what should I do? And then you said, don't worry, this is a cure to Gronemson's disease. Sold my house to raise the money to get this cure. Given to you as a free gift. I'm not going to despise your sacrifice. I'm going to appreciate it. And I'm going to appropriate it. Why? Because I've seen the disease, but I might appreciate the cure. And sadly, what's happened in the U.S. and the Western world has followed is that we have preached the cure without first convincing the disease.
What? Brethren, our task is nearly complete. He was the last of those who brought the punishment to us. We have cleansed and purged his world.
I don't have it.
Have what?
The plague. I'm immune.
Everybody has it.
Everybody but me.
Hey. 10 days after he fell sick, the doctors noticed a change for the better. His fever subsided and his eyes cleared. His mind and personality came back. And he recovered slowly but completely.
He was released from the hospital, and then, right after that, he died. And I kind of see there's something not quite right about that. He's a little odd, but the way he died, I kind of question it. There seems to be a lot of unanswered questions.
Tubes of his blood went to laboratories around the world. Some of it ended up in glass vials.
Oh, no!
In freezers owned by the United States Army, where it is kept immortal in a zoo of hot agents.
Yeah.
It was a complete slate wiper.
Well, after that, all I've got to say. You want to know what's going on? Subgenius.com. If you want to get more information.